This morning, our reading from the epistles and reading for our sermon comes out of the book of Romans in chapter 5, and focusing on verses 12 through 21, but I'm going to start at verse 6 to kind of give a little more context for this passage of Scripture. As I shared earlier, we've been going through this season of Lent, looking at that Apostles' Creed and going through section by section, line by line, as a part of our examination for Lent, of examining our faith and where we are. And one of the things when you do a structured examination like that, using an ancient statement of faith like the Apostles' Creed, it will often take you a place you may not want to go or want to explore. And forgiveness, if we're really honest, is one of those things. It can be hard for us to examine, how we're living with forgiveness, how we are sharing it, but also how we experience it. But it's an important part of our faith. So I invite you to hear these words, and we'll start at verse 6 of chapter 5 out of Romans. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, we will be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift and the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I always appreciate Paul's writings, and because of how Paul can really work on a subject. I feel Paul has a writing style similar to me that I get criticized for, the power of the semicolon almost. Even though there's breaks here with periods and so forth here, there's a lot happening, in this idea that Paul is sharing of how we have received forgiveness, how we have received grace, how we have received it so freely. You can get lost in there of all that's going on. But Paul reminds us how we have been reconciled, to God through Jesus Christ, how we have received grace freely, how we are justified before God because Christ gave himself up on the cross for us, and how we can even boast of that forgiveness, how we can embrace that into our lives. But if we're really honest with ourselves, thinking about forgiveness and reconciliation, these are big topics. They can be hard to work with. They can be hard to ponder and to consider. And I think on a day like Palm Sunday here, where it's such a day of celebration, where we celebrate how Christ came into Jerusalem, it's a high point in the life of Christ and in the life of the Christ follower, the Christian, to celebrate that. And if we're also more honest with ourselves, we love to celebrate. We love having these high moments, these experiences that are great, that are transformative, that mean so much. But yet we also know there's a part of our lives that we may not want to celebrate. We may not want to share. We may not want to even let others know has taken place. For us on this Sunday, even though it is a day of celebration, we have, you know, the benefit of history with us. And we know what is coming in the life of Christ, of where he was crucified on the cross, where he died on that cross. And through that action on the cross, we are reconciled. We are forgiven. We are given new life as the people of God through Christ. And often those moments there, those moments in the life of Christ, we're not so keen to celebrate or perhaps even to acknowledge as much as the high points. You know, Christmas is a day we can embrace. You know, even kind of more obscure days, but important days like Transfiguration, where we see the power of God coming upon Christ. Or like this day, like Palm Sunday. But so much of how we embrace Christ, the things we embrace that we're drawn to, really reflects us. It reflects our nature. It reflects who we are as people. And I think in this day of social media where we can share so many things, you know, I love sharing when things are going well on there. I mean, that's something, I mean, we're drawn to, we like to do, and even how the platforms are made, they encourage that. And I love seeing when there's, you know, weddings, when there's, you know, anniversary celebrations, when there's, you know, babies being born. I mean, I love seeing that. I need that boost in my life. But yet we also know there's more to our lives and our experiences and just that small part that we might share. There's more to our experience than just that. And not that it's wrong to share those things. I mean, please do. Please share those moments. That's important to share and to celebrate. It's good to celebrate those things. But I also believe it's important to recognize those moments we are not so proud of. Those moments where we have fallen short. Those moments where we find ourselves needing to forgive or to be forgiven or even to forgive ourselves. Forgiveness really is an action. It's a moment. It's an experience that truly comes after. And what I mean by that, it comes after a moment. It comes after an argument. It comes after a lie may have been told. It comes after a frustrating experience. It comes after we perhaps lost our cool. I mean, you can name the moment or the circumstance there. But forgiveness for us, you know, as human beings, it comes after something took place. And so when we're thinking about forgiveness, how we can share that, how we can, you know, be a people who, you know, live out forgiveness, we have to really be honest, confront that moment that brought us to that moment of forgiveness, where forgiveness takes place. Either we share it or we receive it. And that's hard. That is hard. I know for myself, the hardest moments in my life is when I am coming to the people I love, the people whom I value, the people I respect, and I have to come to them after something took place and say, I'm sorry, to ask for forgiveness. I mean, those are moments that are painful. Those are moments that are difficult. But I will be honest to you and say, in those moments when I have said, I am sorry, those moments I have felt probably the most, you know, vulnerable and open. But I know in that moment there, I'm being honest with the other person. I'm being open. I'm being real. I'm acknowledging what took place. But I also believe in those moments there, when we dig into our faith, we dig a little deeper as Christians, we go into those moments, I don't believe we go into those moments alone. We don't go in those moments, you know, of forgiveness, you know, by ourselves. For indeed, I believe the Holy Spirit is in those moments, and I fully believe that our Christ and our God understand those moments. When we look at Scripture here and Paul's writing, now Paul was very much writing, you know, about grace and reconciliation and forgiveness of sins. He's not necessarily going into deep detail about, you know, perhaps the sin that took place or, you know, why we're getting there. And he mentions it, you know, coming from Adam, so he's, you know, speaking a lot, I'd say, of, you know, original sin, you know, right there. So we're at that one man that Paul's referring to as, you know, Adam. But when we think about, you know, how, you know, sin is, how it can kind of function in our, you know, have experience and how it functions, and I really see sin, and I really define in a sin as, you know, a broken, you know, relationship. Something took place to break a relationship. And there's other ways we can, you know, look at sin, but I felt that has been one of the most meaningful definitions for me, one of the most helpful definitions of sin. Because if we think about when we have sinned against, you know, someone, perhaps we told a lie to them or weren't totally honest with them, or perhaps we have done something that is sinful before God, in those moments we can see there's a broken relationship there, either with us, the other person, or with God. Something has gotten in the way of that relationship. But here's the good news, though. When we're looking at this writing from Paul, and we're looking at our faith tradition, is we see how Christ, you know, someone who is fully righteous, you know, fully human, fully God, you know, the Savior of mankind, how he gave himself up for us as an act of forgiveness for our sins, to make us right before God. We can see in the whole life of Christ, I mean, it goes towards this moment of where Christ gave himself up for our brokenness, for our sins, for those moments where we find ourselves seeking forgiveness from our loved ones or our friends or our co-workers. You know, it's in those moments that Christ died for us and for our salvation. It's because of that forgiveness that took place there, that sacrifice that Christ gave for us, we have that salvation and that new beginning and that clean and fresh start. So when I think about those moments where I am needing to forgive, or for myself, I'm really honest, those moments I am asking for forgiveness, Christ has paved the way for us. Because we are forgiven and made right before God, I believe we can seek forgiveness. We can forgive. Because Christ has done the hard work. And that's an understatement when I say that. Because Christ loved us so much, he gave himself up for us to be forgiven, for us to be made right before God. And so I'm thinking of our Lenten examination, when I think of how we can, you know, incorporate forgiveness into our lives, I believe it's important for us to ask ourselves, you know, where do we need to seek forgiveness? Who in our life do we need to talk to, have a hard conversation? Who do we need to reach out to so we can ask for forgiveness? And yet also, who in our lives are trying to be reconciled with us, trying to seek reconciliation, who can we forgive? And a third thing to think about as well there is, where do we need to forgive our own selves? I actually believe of these three things here, that third one there, forgiving ourselves, can be the hardest one to do. Because most intimately, we know what we've done. We know where we have fallen short. And it can be hard to tell our own selves, you know, to be sorry towards ourselves, to seek forgiveness for our own self. But I think that when we carry that burden, when we carry that, and in all these moments, when we carry this burden, though, I mean, it eats at us. I mean, if you think about where something has been, you know, put between you and a loved one or a friend or a coworker, I mean, it takes energy to keep that up. It takes so much energy. It's painful. It's difficult. But I believe God does not want us to carry that burden, that pain, that difficulty around in our lives. God does not, you know, want us to be, you know, so broken down with that sin that we just cannot function or we can't be in relationship with one another. That is, you know, part of why Christ went to the cross, for us to be free of that sin so we can, you know, experience all that reconciliation from God. But so we have that example of experiencing forgiveness. So we can be renewed, so we can be refreshed, and we can have that new beginning. It may not happen in an instant. It may not happen in a moment. It may not happen in an hour, a day, or a week, or a month, or even a year. When we start on that journey of seeking forgiveness, of sharing forgiveness, we're following our faith. We're following Christ. We're embracing that forgiveness that we have experienced so we can have that new life. I believe Christ gave himself up for us so we could be free of these burdens, so we can be free of these struggles, and so we can really live into that John 10:10 there, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. When we are carrying around these sins and this brokenness, that is not life. That is not life at all. But rather experiencing that grace, that new beginning through Christ. And when we share that with others, that's experiencing abundant life. That's experiencing a new beginning and a fresh start. So brothers and sisters, today, let us, you know, share forgiveness. Let us seek forgiveness. Let us be free of these burdens that weigh us down. Let us be free of that which keeps us separated from God, separated from each other, so we can truly follow Christ and have that abundant life. When Christ was marching in, I believe, on Palm Sunday, as he's on, that colt coming in there, as we had in Luke, you know, coming into Jerusalem, I fully believe Christ knew what was coming next. Christ knew that he would be going to the cross. Christ knew what was ahead for him. And yet he still went through that whole week. He was with those who are celebrating him. He was in that moment because of that love for us. Because of that love that Christ has for us. That love that God has for us. And I believe that the love the Holy Spirit inspires amongst us today. Christ did all this for us to be free, to have new life and a new beginning. So let us embrace this grace, this forgiveness, and share it with others so we can have the life God calls us to live now and forever. Amen.